The Burrito Radio Show is brought to you by 2B1 Entertainment.
Have you ever wondered how the pedicab industry got started? You know, the guys and gals that travel people around town? Well, purchase the book Pedicab Hearsay, available on Amazon.com, both electronic and hard copy. Get the stories today. B1 has a game called None is Perfect Billiards. It is a game based on points, stroke play, pretty much. You get to find out what your score would be in comparison to the pros. It's one of the better games that's out there, and it's new and fresh for the 21st century. If you'd like to be on the players list or participate in one of the games or videos, contact None is Perfect Billiards at nipbilliards@gmail.com. Get on the players list and take part in the fun today. Welcome to another edition of the Burrito Radio Show. This is your host, 2B1 Energy, and we're out here in Southern California once again, where it's sunny today. It's November 20th, I want to say. We're in the Scorpio retrograde, from what I'm getting from my friends who are into the astrology. And we have a very interesting guest on today. She goes by the name of Alyssa Violet, and she has a business that's called Violet Funk Creations. Her Instagram is at Violet Funk Creations, so you can easily find her. And she's a very interesting person that I met many weeks ago, and I'm finally able to get on this show. Welcome to the Burrito Radio Show, Alyssa.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Nice. Now, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling rejuvenated. I'm soaking in the sun. I watched the sunrise. I'm feeling in tune and tapped in.
And where are you located right now?
Rancho.
I mean, as far as, like, you're in San Diego, right?
Yeah. Rancho San Diego is where I live. My business is based in Ocean Beach, so I spend a lot of my time there. But I live in Rancho.
Talk a little bit about Violet Funk Creations. What is the Violet Funk Creations about?
It's all about the art. Like, the idea is, like, the slogan is create, connect, ascend. And what that means to me, like, that just came to me. Like, just the whole dawn of Violet Funk Creations was very magical. And it all happened in 3 days, essentially. And I was, and so, I don't know. It was very, very, very crazy. But what we do...
How long have you been doing it?
Since July.
So you just started at
yes.
this.
Yes. It happened, like, literally overnight, and I didn't know. I didn't really have any plans. I was just following my intuition and just doing what I wanted in each moment and just, like, doing what I was inspired to do, and it just came out like that.
And okay, before we get into how you actually got into Violet Funk Creations, tell us a little bit more about what products you have. Mm-hmm.
So we primarily do handmade jewelry. That's what it started at. Well, the art started with painting, but the overall idea in Violet Funk Creations was the jewelry. But I like to say all things art. So we're always offering different art forms, like embroidery, tie-dye, bleach dye, different things with clothes. Like, I have a lot of ideas, so I don't want to put myself under a bucket, but all things art is what I would say. Because I'm always looking for new artists to collaborate with, you know, who, like, see the vision and are feeling the vibes and energy and want to be a part of it.
You paint as well? You're a painter?
I do, yes.
Okay, and so what kind of painting do you do? Canvas work on oils, acrylic?
Acrylic on canvas, primarily.
And how big are your pieces, you think?
Well, all art for me, literally everything, anything regarding art started in quarantine. So I've only done, like, I've done some big pieces, some small pieces, like nothing too big. Like, I have done like a lot of like minis. I haven't been painting as much lately because right now I'm inspired to wire wrap. So I like to just stay true to myself and what I feel inspired to do in each moment. That's,
and when you say wire wrap, for the people out there like me who don't know, mm-hmm, that much about it, what is wire wrap? What is that?
So essentially, you may know, if I say, like, if you ever see someone who has like a crystal around their neck and it's basically just decorated and surrounded in wire in different ways, right, and trapped in there, so it's a pendant, like a crystal pendant,
right,
that you wear. That's what I just started learning how to do, and it's so meditative because the wire work is really intricate. So
it's meditative because you're working with your hands?
Because I'm just so focused and it's so like detail oriented that I can't really let my mind wander.
Right.
And like, you have to be fully present.
And I guess not every piece is the same, which makes it more exciting,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, every piece is different because every stone is different and shaped differently and like different designs with the wire. It's like just really fun.
So you also sell stones as well, right?
Here and there, not really. Like, I have my own stones that I take to charge in the sun, and occasionally I'll have someone walk up to my table and just grab the stone and be like, I like, and I could tell just energetically that they're meant to have it, in which case I usually do give them to people or sell them for a couple dollars.
How often do you recharge your stones? How often?
Well, every time I take them out, I take them when I go to set up. And then sometimes
maybe like once a week, you recharge them once a week.
Yeah. And then I take them out in the moon too sometimes, usually for for full moon.
Interesting. And so, okay. So you have t-shirts, mm-hmm, shirts or clothing. You have some paintings, you have some jewelry, anything else, that, you know, that you have on the table?
Roach clips, which are kind of made out of wire. I like to make the roach clips with crystals as well.
Nice. So pretty much, you have an artistic mind, that's more visual and creative and sculpting. And you said you just started in July?
Yes. Violet Funk. Yeah. And then art overall started in about April. I basically, my entire life, I made an agreement with myself that I'm not creative, and I never had any desire or wanted to do anything involving art. And then quarantine happened and like my entire life shifted. And then I realized, like, I canceled that agreement with myself because I realized it was just resultant of like conditioning and, you know, just believing in these false beliefs of lack and limitation. And just
so you go to Ocean Beach once a week on average. Do you do a lot of online sales as well? Or through Instagram?
Not yet. I'm working towards moving more online. The issue that I have is I like to be like fully present in my life, and I don't always like to be on my phone so much, but I'm trying to put in like all the effort now so that I can make that shift and start a website. Another issue that I'm having is my long-term vision doesn't really align with me spending a lot of money and putting effort into just, because I want long-term, I want Violet Funk to function sort of like an Etsy, because it is a community component, and I would like all the creators to have their own individual shops. And then also so that we can connect with each other through forums and like meetings and video chats and guided meditations, and like that's what's important to me, because at the end of the day, like, what's really important is that this is not about me, it's about the art and just raising the collective consciousness. Like, that's why I try to depersonify it as much as possible. Like, yeah, I had the ideas, yeah, this is what I do with basically my entire life right now.
Now some people make art that's like not affordable. But your art is pretty affordable for the common, mm-hmm, person, as far as. And do you take trades as well? Like,
yes.
If somebody has something.
Yeah, I love barter systems. I love Ocean Beach. I love how all of the vendors are just trying to help each other, and there's a huge community component, and like everyone's just collaborating and connecting. I am open to trades, anything. And honestly, like the way I feel about art is, if someone feels like, there's times where I could tell someone's really connected to a piece, whether it's like jewelry or painting or just one of the stones on the table that I didn't anticipate on selling because it's mine, where I just feel that the connection between them and the art, that I am always willing to, like, because if someone feels so connected, they're the ones who are meant to have it. So, like, if I could tell someone doesn't have a lot of, like, you can, there's just certain, like, little indicators. And, you know, if I feel someone's meant to have it, I will actually sometimes even tell them just a lower price because I want them to have it. That's why ultimately I would like to be able to get to have enough financial freedom that I can give away my art. That would be like a long-term goal. Like, it is a business right now, but I would like to have multiple streams of income so that art is purely just, you know, sharing the love and light with the world.
Right, but so you're not really sure what the long-term goal is on Violet Funk term, Violet Funk Creations. You're more just concerned about living in the moment. You're just what quarantine. We're gonna take a short break, and we're gonna continue on with how you actually, what were you doing before all this, and you know, it's maybe some other things too. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Burrito Radio Show. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Cecil Jewelry, and you're listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
For those in search for inner peace, stop by Sacred Sun, Essentials for Life Balance. Just a short walk from the La Mesa Trolley. Visit us at 8239 La Mesa Boulevard, or call us at 619-467-7073 for more details. We're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesdays through Saturdays, and we hope to see you soon.
Hi, this is Marcos Carvajal. I'm the author from Behind the Stick. I wrote a book about growing up addicted to gambling and playing pool and hustling. And you can find this book on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And I wrote this story to explain to you how the addiction to gambling can lead to other things other than just playing pool, and what your pitfalls and strongholds are. So I wrote this mainly for my children, but I hope you can enjoy this book. Thank you.
Hello, this is Ricky Elliott. I work under the umbrella of Primerica. And what we do is we teach families to earn more income, become properly protected, debt-free, and financially independent. My contact information is 619-867-1053.
Are you in need of legal representation? Affordable at that? No worries. Legal Shield is here to meet your needs and the needs of your family. For more information, contact Candace Howard at candacehoward.wearelegalshield.com. Can't wait to hear from you.
phone.
Here we are with Violet Funk Creation. Alyssa Violet, thank you for taking the time out for joining us today. Let's pick up where we left off. I know that you said you've only been doing this since July, and you actually started doing the art in April, but you seem pretty fairly young, right?
Yes.
Do you mind giving us your age, or at least, close to it?
I'm 23.
So you're 23 years old. What were you doing prior to the quarantine?
I was going to grad school full-time at SDSU.
And what were you taking to grad school?
I was going to get my master's in social work and working at Donovan State Prison prior to quarantine.
So you have a caring heart just in general by just kind of helping people at heart, even though you're doing it more artistically rather than in the social.
Mm-hmm. At this moment, I do crave, I miss having like those therapeutic connections like I did when I was actually working in the field, and I plan on re-entering the field also in addition to art. But yeah.
Okay, so when you say re-entering the field, what you were actually doing for your master's, you were doing some internship?
Yes, I was working 16 hours a week at Donovan State Prison on the border, doing individual therapy and group therapy sessions with inmates.
And what was your take on that?
It was like an amazing, empowering experience. And, you know, I learned a lot about the system, and working within it was difficult because I don't, my, you know, personal, you know, human rights beliefs don't really align with what they do in those sort of institutions. But it was also very eye-opening to, you know, learn through that and to make an impact on these people's lives and set them up with what they need for a successful reintegration in society. Because what I specifically worked with was pre-release.
So prior to entering the grad school, you had a different outlook on what you saw when you finally started actually going firsthand?
Hello?
Yeah, you had a different outlook. Like prior going to grad school, you didn't have these feelings that you did once you actually started talking to these people.
I mean, I did. I've always been very passionate about the criminal justice system since I studied abroad in my undergrad. So I've always been very passionate about the criminal justice system, and that's a huge reason why I chose to move to California, because this is where the prison boom actually took place, and like just making money off prison. Like that, this is where it happened, and that's a huge reason why California is like so wealthy. Because in the late 1980s is when all this stuff happened, and they went from having like 12 prisons in the state to like literally like 70, like in a year or something like that. I'm hella making up these numbers, but it's all on the internet.
I got you. I understand what you're saying. There's like maybe 5 times more prisons than there was back in the 80s.
Yes.
And it's a money grabbing thing for contractors, people making the monies. I have a term, it's called, we need to stop supporting our oppressors. Mm-hmm. You know, people that, the entity that oppress us, and we support them continuously. In this case, it's kind of like that in a way, where they rely on, people, of course, doing crazy crimes, but sometimes they're not as crazy as they seem, and they're getting pretty much caught up in a web. Because let's say if you have a DUI, mm-hmm. or let's say, you know, drunk in public, and then they start labeling you and all this other stuff, and then they see, you know, you're going through a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
I can tell you how I see it from my perspective in working with these individuals is, well, it is, you know, it's a system set to for their failure overall. But more so than that, these men, you know, they all have similar childhoods with severe trauma and neglect and abuse. And moving on into adolescence, they're in neighborhoods that don't have as much access to opportunity, and they get caught up in gangs. And then even if they want to get out, they don't see any other way. And most of the time, their interaction with the criminal justice system begins when they're young. So they're cycling in and out of institutions as a juvenile. And it's just...
I think a lot of people recognized the problem many years ago. Being that, you know, I'm kind of like not necessarily like, how can I say this? I've been arrested several times. And at the same time, it wasn't because of gangbanging. I never was a gangbanger. But I've known a lot of gangbangers in my life and people into crime. All I can say is that it's the system to start off with. If you're a youngster and you're born in the hood or born in like the barrio, you just automatically don't have you're already facing an uphill climb.
Yeah, exactly. You're already starting like a mile behind people born in other places or born into other families. And the way that they address these problems, like in my perspective, behavioral issues like acting out or even gangbanging, drugs, like violence, even. Like if those issues, those behavioral issues are rooted in unresolved trauma, then you should treat the trauma like not the issue. It's like just like how in this country we treat symptoms instead of causes.
But here's my thing. It has gotten better for the people that we're talking about. I'm talking about like what we're saying with the homes that are violent, homes that have drugs and stuff like that. It's gotten a lot better. What hasn't gotten better is the system of clocking the dollars, of making sure that people are getting caught up. Here's a good example, okay? You have a person who does something wrong and they get their driver's license suspended, but they have to drive because they have to go to work. So they all of a sudden their car gets marked and they keep on getting pulled over all the time, that they end up having this major fine, and then they get their driver's license taken away. Now, from that point on, they're no longer qualified for a lot of employment right there. Because once they run your record, they're going to think that, you know, you're this, that, and the other. Damn, you take that, and all of a sudden, this person may commit crimes in order to get over.
It's so systemic on literally every single level. Like, homelessness, like, just every... Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. There's just, like, it's like a circle where people are trying to get out and regain power over their lives and take control of their livelihood, but the system is not set up for success.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's a travesty because it keeps on getting repeated, even though the number of people that used to get murdered are not getting murdered. The number of people using crack are not the same anymore. More people are trying to actually get an education. But really, that's the jack move too. I just had a guest on my show who did everything right. He he was an A student, had a 4.0, went to college, went to Auburn, and he was in marketing or, you know, something like that. But because he didn't have any experience, nobody would hire him. So now he just kind of works a menial job, good enough to kind of like float, you know, survive, be happy, but never not really getting over. And didn't get his master's and didn't get his doctorate. So those are the like steps that even if you do make it, it's very difficult.
Yep, exactly.
It's very difficult. Systematic.
I feel like no matter what your ambition is in life, like in terms of like job or whatever, like most of the time, like in this society, in the American society, it is set up so that there is like a kind of ceiling that you reach, and it's because like we've all been taught like the American dream. It's possible for anyone, like, but in reality, like the belief in the American dream is made to keep the people at the bottom by making them think that they can get to the top. When in reality, there are these like sort of glass ceilings where even if you do everything that, is in alignment with success in, a country like this, you could still just keep hitting roadblocks.
We can keep on talking about this, and for sure, I mean, like I said, this is like one of those deep subjects, and it's very interesting because when I look at you, I see that you're like this helper kind of person. You have so much energy inside, balled up in you. I think that's one of the things that's kind of like, because you're like in this holding pattern, so to speak, that, you know, you need to get your mind going, use your hands, and to start just playing in a way because of probably what you've been hearing and what you've been going through, mm-hmm. what you've heard with all these men. Let's take another mm-hmm. break, Alyssa. And I'd like to kind of dive a little bit more into this criminal justice system. Not too much, but I think it's something that I want to see about, now that we talked about the problem, maybe we can talk about some mm-hmm. solutions.
Okay.
We're going to take a short break. This is 2B1 Energy on the Burrito Radio Show.
Yo, 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 this is Bun the Poet and you know it, and you listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
Hey, you guys, we're over here at Marcella June's Coffee Lounge. Our address is 8513 La Mesa Boulevard. We sell herbal medicine and coffee and tea, and we're working on a lot of community projects to get some massage therapy going in with all this. You can reach us at 619-504-9494. We're open Monday through Friday again. Please come on by. Thank you very much.
Fresh food for the fresh body. What goes in fresh comes out healthy. Be sure to visit your local farmer's market, and trust me, you'll feel much better. Show brings you a new program titled Boxing is Life, brought to you by the fictional character Baba Zande, for entertainment purposes only.
This is Del Sol Records, and you're listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
The Burrito Radio Show. Yes, your host, 2B1 Energy. Okay, so we been seeing and hearing about Alyssa Funk, or Alyssa Violet, and she has the Violet Funk Creations. We've been talking about the criminal justice system a little bit. And it's one of the fields that she's more than likely going to go into once she gets her master. Are you close to getting your master's done yet?
I'm taking a year off to pursue art full time because my internship was at a high school and doing the computer stuff, like because of the coronavirus. Like I want to get the real experience. So I'm going to wait until hopefully things go back to person.
Yeah, right. We were talking about some of the problems and issues over the decades. I mean, we can keep on going back further and further and whatever, but what are some of the solutions? I know I have something in my mind, but what kind of solutions are we looking at here when it's all said and done?
I think that, you know, from the beginning, like starting with children and juveniles, adolescents, young adults, is to even, you know, people that are already in the system, is treating the cause, treating the root of the problematic behavior. Like most of the time it's all trauma. It's all trauma. So instead of saying like, oh, okay, you know, you dealt with all this and then you reacted out in this way and like you're a menace to society now, like to show compassion for these people and their lived experience. Because most of the time, if you hear out their lived experience, you know, you understand on so much of a deeper level on why they are the way they are, why they act the way they act, and why they sometimes, you know, reject, like, help.
Right. Do you know anything about the central nervous system?
A little bit from psychology classes, but.
What do you know about it as far as off the top of your head?
Is that like where your stress response is or what?
Kind of. Do you know where it's located?
No. Is it your breathing? Okay. You can just tell me.
This is not a trick question. Okay. There's so many people that know hardly anything about the central nervous system. I mean, I've been like taking little small surveys lately because I came across it during this traumatic mm-hmm. year, you know? And so the central nervous system is located in the back of our neck. You know where that little hook comes on? It seems like, you know, your cranium is sitting on top of your spine. Mm-hmm. So it's right there. It's right there in the back. Okay. It helps connect the spine and the brain together. So the brain sends everything through the spine and vice versa. Everything transfers through the central mm-hmm. nervous system. And I think this is what we're referring to of why things are all out of whack is because the central nervous system is out of whack. It's like our thinking process comes from our central nervous system more so mm-hmm. than the brain, because we're going to get the feeling through our central nervous system to send the rest of the message to our body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense? So think about it this way. We can have the thought to be able to run fast, but the central nervous system is going to say, hey, man, we're going to only go run fast as much as the body's going to let us to. That's my whole point. And I feel like if you could do some more research on that central nervous system, and that's, to me, that's what's really the major problem with a lot of what I call when somebody has a central nervous system disorder, it could be dementia, Alzheimer's, somebody gets hit in the back of the head, right, with a fist or a brick or whatever. If they hit their head at any time, the central nervous system gets kind of, you know, mm-hmm. jiggly too. So I feel like this is what's missing with a lot of physicians, a lot of psychiatrists, a lot of people that don't understand that the central nervous system is way more important in our lives than we mm-hmm. give credit.
Yeah, I mean, and also these physicians and psychiatrists and all these people in, like, you know, the helping profession in Western medicine, they're seeking to address the symptoms and the consequences of the problem rather than the root and cause of the problem. And when that's compounded by systemic racism and oppression, like, these people who are dealing with these, like, traumatic experiences, their opportunity to make it out and live an abundant and happy and successful life is severely limited.
It is so true that, you know, like I said, everybody has a central nervous system. Every animal, anything that has a brain and a spine has a central nervous system. So it's not just people, but animals too. The central nervous system is such a key component. In the meantime, my solution for myself would be this game I came up with called None Is Perfect Billiards. It's a game that's based on thinking. You don't have to be a great athlete. And I feel like that's what's missing with the children nowadays, more activities for them to do that they're capable of doing and able to make money at the same mm-hmm. time too, to generate finance, to generate another way of people making money in menial ways. Mm-hmm. That's my solution.
Oh, yeah. Alyssa? I didn't know if, like, what really to say in response. Because
I'm asking if you have any solutions for what we're talking about. I mean, like, I know the problem.
There's so, like,
yeah, for these children that are going through what they're going through, for the parents.
Well, it needs to be addressed at every single level, like, in terms of equal access to opportunity. So these children in these neighborhoods, like, it needs to be addressed through the schools, through the food, especially through the food. Access, like, increasing access to high quality foods because at the end of the day, and you know, these parents, they can't always, like, the whole, like, I honestly, going into this is like, it's just almost, it's like, I need to take a deep breath because it's just so, yeah.
Take a deep breath through your nostrils and let it out slow through your mouth, okay? Real quick.
It's just really sad. And I think that if there were more social workers and more holistic approaches to healing in general.
Tell you what, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal, okay? You find some children to want to play my game and I can show you what I'm talking about. You know, they can be like, you know, and I'll show them what I'm talking about, how people can relax and breathe and communicate and focus just by simply playing a pool table.
Okay, I'll find some children. I love children.
Yeah, and then I'll find a table for us to play at, and then I can, like, explain to you how sometimes, you know, the simplest things, because not everybody's the same, right? Even in the people that you talk to, can, right? The people at the social. I mean, how different are these people that when you talk to them?
In appearance and in, like, crime history, very different, very diverse. Like, but in the roots of severe trauma and, you know, the just the overall view of their childhoods are very, very similar.
So how they look at it, right? They're that part, how they look at it.
How they look at it? I'm misunderstanding.
How they, yeah. I kind of misunderstood what you said. You said
I'm saying their childhoods, like the characteristics of their childhoods and their life experiences in as a child are all very similar. But how those unresolved traumas have manifested in their criminal history is different just based on like where they come from and just specific case by case issues.
Well, so you hear the stories are pretty common. Like the stories are pretty much, you know, abuse, pretty much abuse.
Sexual abuse, a lot of death in the family. Most of the time, one of their parents was, like, their father was incarcerated as well. A lot of drug issues, gang activities in the immediate family. That's, like, most of them start, you know, illegal activities to help their family make money at a very young age. Like, middle school is typically, like, when most of them telling me these things. That, like, you know, their unresolved issues have.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I can see that happening. And that's why I say it's important for us to really let these children know what the truth is instead of, like, leading them astray. You know, it's my opinion that another solution would be is to start trade schools early instead of late. Start them at when they're 11 years old. Okay, what do you want to get into? Try this out. See if this is good for you. Instead of waiting until they're 18, 19 years old. I think that's ludicrous.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for people who already pretty confidently know that, you know, the educational route isn't for them.
Yeah, if you want to be an auto mechanic, you're 11 years old, say, hey, I'm going to go to this auto mechanic side so I can learn how to make money by being an auto mechanic. You want to be a, you know, a doctor, you go on this route. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like way too long. And, like, that's what's keeping us back. You know, and the resources too. I tell you what, we're gonna take one more break for one last segment, and we're gonna come back with Alyssa Violet. I apologize for saying Alyssa Funk. Please forgive me. Okay, she runs Violet Funk Creations. She's a very, very interesting. She got stars all over her forehead. Anyway, we'll be right back in a moment.
Hey, yo, what up, Tavia, man? I ain't seen you in a bit, boy. How you been?
I'm good, Dre. How about yourself?
Man, I'm fine, but I tell you what, man, you show these lace down with this apparel, man. Where you get this from?
Hey, man, it's that Cash Cow drip, man. You already know. But you can go ahead and go to my Instagram page at Cash Cow FP. Go ahead and get the drip.
Man, I'm with it.
Left.
The Burrito Radio Show brings you a new program titled Boxing is Life. Brought to you by the fictional character Baba Zande, for entertainment purposes only.
listening to the Burrito Radio Show.
Hi, this is Terry from Amethyst Moon. We're located at 8329 La Mesa Boulevard. We'd like to remind you that we're open for business and we have new store hours Tuesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. We'll see you soon.
Yes, yes, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all. 2B1 Energy here with Alyssa Violet. And we apologize for being so serious, but that is such a serious subject matter when it comes down to the criminal justice system. I do kind of want to lighten up a little bit, maybe talk about some things that are positive over the last few months. Outside of just your artwork, what else has been pretty positive?
There's just so much positive. Like, and it's all connected to the art, because the art wouldn't have happened without like the spiritual rebirth. And like, to me, just waking up to the realization that, you know, we've been conditioned to believe in like lack and limitation and scarcity, when in reality, like all there is just like God in abundance, and you can manifest anything you want at any moment. All you have to do is just really feel like, just like meditate on the feeling of the goal achieved.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that seems surreal. Then we go back to the last topic, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh,
it is truly simple, but you know, maybe if children were taught like the universal truths of life earlier as well, then there wouldn't be as many issues.
I totally agree, except for I'm kind of like right now in my own little world, I'm kind of stuck right now of what you're talking about, of not, of like looking and trying to visualize it, meditating, exercising, and still not really coming through with what I really want.
So the way that the mind works is your subconscious will accept whatever is the dominant idea. So if you're doing this and it's not working, it probably means that the dominant idea is lack. As, like, the dominant idea in your conscious mind is that you don't already have it. So when people sometimes like affirm themselves in certain ways, like I am a millionaire, because they're trying to manifest something like that, the dominant idea in their head is, damn, I have $200 in my bank account. Not like, it would be better to kind of work to make an impression on your subconscious by saying something like, I am growing in wealth every day, and just feeling it, because your subconscious can accept that. When your subconscious tries to accept I am a millionaire, the dominant idea, even though you have good intentions, is lack of wealth. So that's
right. And this is what you promote as far as like your spiritual vibe. How often do you meditate?
Multiple times a day. On a good day, like if I'm like really On a good day, I'm meditating for at least 2 hours. On a bad day, it may just be right when I wake up and right before bed. Well, that's not even a bad day. Any day that I meditate is a good day. Every day is a good day.
Okay, but when you meditate, do you go to the park and meditate? Do you do that in your home?
Well,
do you
have the most impactful time to meditate is when you are in a sleepy, drowsy, meditative state. So with that in mind, the best time to meditate would be before you go to sleep or right when you wake up before you're fully tapped into your conscious awareness. So I do that in bed or sometimes in the morning. I'll do it. I'll get and sit on my yoga mat and do it. But using the time when I'm in a sleepy, drowsy state to my advantage. So it could be anywhere. Sometimes I'll be out and something will maybe trigger me, and then I'll go to the root of the issue within my own mind and sort of meditate and release it. Because at the end of the day, anything anyone does has nothing to do with you.
So you pretty much live a stressful, stress-free life.
I try my best, and that's when, shadow work and stuff comes up, because there have been times recently where I realized that I was projecting my own unresolved issues onto someone else. They triggered me in a way that, it has nothing to do with them. If someone triggers you, you need to look within. And
so when you said shadow work, what do you mean by that?
So overall, it's rooted, just think, when someone says or does anything and it makes you feel some type of way, it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with you. So shadow work, and usually the things that have to do with you are the things about you that you don't like about yourself. So we, especially in this society, in the collective spiritual consciousness, a lot of people have the tendency to project their own stuff on other people. And shadow work is looking at those parts within yourself that you don't like, that you're ashamed of, that did things that you regret or that are not in alignment with the highest good of God, and looking at those parts in yourself and finding compassion for them and finding the root of why those tendencies, those behaviors, those actions, those thoughts come about. And it's usually rooted in trauma. And
what do you think if a person doesn't believe in God, though?
Okay.
Such as myself.
My friend said something recently, that someone said that they were an atheist, and he asked them, well, what do you, what does that mean to you? And they said, I don't believe that there's someone in the sky, saying what's good and bad, that. And I think, and under those definitions, I'm an atheist as well. To me, God is the eternal now. God is consciousness. God is pure love, pure light. God is good, everything that's good. And so I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And God may not mean the same to me as it does to other people. But when I tap into that infinite abundance and that pure love energy, unconditional love for everything, I can see that everything is connected. And I can see God in everything, the plants, the trees, the people, and that's what God means to me.
I understand. I mean, I don't disrespect anybody that believes in mm-hmm. God. That's what they want to do. I think that's one of the problems that people have, is that mm-hmm. they can't honor what somebody's
exactly.
what they believe in.
I honor.
So,
exactly. I honor everyone's beliefs. I think that people have the right to make decisions for themselves and for their lives. And I think religion overall is a system. Is a system of control.
I don't know that part. Somebody might believe in killing people. They that's all they like to do. I don't believe
okay,
that.
But that person, their reasonings for killing people is probably rooted in stuff that can be fixed through, healing. People don't just want to kill. Well, I mean, that's a whole other topic. But but finding compassion.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I feel like I understand where you're coming from. Trust me, I understand where you're coming from. It's a wholeness sense to it all. It's like a magnet. Not,
yeah.
Or a light that's inside of
the.
I understand exactly.
Killing person, that's a very dramatic thing. But we all do things that we don't like. There's a side of everyone within yourself that has done things in the past that you're not proud of, that you're ashamed of. And instead of rejecting that and, you know, letting that anger or like guilt and shame arise in the now moment, you can choose to forgive that and find compassion in the trauma that even caused that to happen in the first place. And that's what shadow work essentially is. Like, and for me, it's been so powerful and freeing to go within myself and do like shadow work meditations and realize and remember specific painful traumatic experiences and working towards forgiving my abuser. And then when I do that, I see that these instances where people are triggering me happening less and less. And then no one can disrupt your peace.
Hey, I totally salute to that. You know? It's very difficult because people do have traumatic experiences. And like I said, you in the past talked to a bunch of people that's gone through a lot, and how do we get rid of it? Real quick, when's the last time you had a burrito?
Probably, I think like over the weekend. I did. I had Mike's in OB. I love Mike's. I'm so passionate about Mike's.
So if you had to give me your top three burrito places, Mike's would be on it.
yeah.
And that's so the one in Ocean Beach, right? What burrito place would be number two?
That's really hard for me.
Mike's is number two?
One, two, three. I don't know. I really only go there for burritos. Like, I that's my favorite spot.
Do you ever try to make your own burrito? So the only time you have a burrito is when you go to Ocean Beach. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, not too often, but I'm saying. So you don't promote burritos?
I don't know. I love burritos. They're good.
I don't know. I call this burrito a radio show because you can make you can put anything in a burrito.
Dude, I love that. I was about to ask you like why it's called that, but that's really amazing.
Yeah. I want to thank. We'd like to thank Alyssa Violet for joining the Burrito Radio Show. This has been a you know, it's kind of weird. The things that you say, it's very relatable to my own personal life. Sometimes people get disturbed by my voice sometimes, and sometimes they love it. But at the same time, I can't seem to grasp a lot of people to surround my aura to really figure out what's really going on. And a lot of it has to do with what you were saying, but you say it so eloquently. Mm-hmm. You say it way better than I can say. So we hope you can get your voice out there and get so people can really grasp at what you're doing, because you're doing a lot of positive things for the community, and it seems like for anybody that's around you. So thank you so much for being on the show. Okay. This is another edition of the Burrito Radio Show. We'll check you next time. And remember, it's still one motion. So ride the wave of life. Hey.
magic in the air. We share the same truth around our souls. The spring of life, oh yeah. We're so happy. We're so happy. Walking on borrowed time, we take a moment to share the love of being as one. Oh yeah, we're so happy. We're so happy. The sea jewels, just holding.